Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. In this episode, we're going to talk with Mark Wilson Thomas about some great advantages that Visual Studio is bringing to designers.
Well, to developers, we hope. It's a designer for developers. That's kind of a mouthful, but...
But, I mean, designers can use it too, though, couldn't they?
Oh, designers can use us too, but we're really hoping that, you know, our friendly crowd of developers who've been following designers that we've produced for years and years will be happy to use the new developer-focused designer that we have in Visual Studio 2010 coming up.
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually did a couple sessions at Mix, right?
That's right, yeah, yeah. So we were just talking a little bit about the new developments, the things that are coming along, and, you know, one of the things that we're trying to let people know is that, you know, back in the Visual Studio 2008 release, which is what everyone's using to build their WPF and Silverlight applications
today. That's what I'm using.
You know, I mean, it's what everyone's using. And sometimes we folks on the product team, you know, we kind of forget that that everyone else is still using that stuff we shipped, you know, a couple of years ago. But it's still great stuff. And what that lets you do is produce some fantastic applications. And we're seeing a good crop of WPF and Silverlight apps out in the wild today. And, you know, it's really good to see that momentum developing. But, you know, you had to have some great skills to get some really productive output out of that thing to start with, right? So if you were approaching WPF or Silverlight as a technology, you probably went and hit the books, and you picked up Visual Studio and you started hitting the XAML, right? So you're into the markup straight away and you're starting to figure out all of those rich, powerful concepts that the WPF and Silverlight provide for you. And people have done amazing things with that. I, you know, it's a testament to the skills of our developer community that people have been able to get really productive.
Because that markup is a little on the confusing side.
But yeah, it's not what you want to pick up, you know, when you're feeling a little bit half asleep. You better be alert. You better have your skills about you to get some good stuff out of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of people have, but what we really want to do is to make that set of capabilities that's available in the two platforms, in WPF and in Silverlight, available to everybody, right? So that you don't have to have Jedi skills to be able to get this thing working for you. And I'm not saying that you absolutely have to have those Jedi skills now, but you certainly better have your wits about you, and you better be willing to dive right into concepts, understanding your XAML to lay out your UI, understanding concepts like data binding, which have tremendous power, but with tremendous power always comes tremendous responsibility, right? And so all of those things were very powerful. The application of resources, the fact that WPF is a lookless environment so that you can actually take the behavior of a control, keep that, but change the look completely. All of those capabilities were available, but they weren't things that were easy for you to necessarily access unless you already had fairly in-depth understanding of the platform. Now, people have come to expect a different kind of experience when they're building, particularly enterprise-style applications, where you're typically working with data, forms over data, that kind of environment. You know, usually, someone who's been used to, for instance, Windows Forms or ASP.NET has been used to a kind of a drag-and-drop approach to life, right? And what I had to say at Mix was that actually, you know, welcome back, in a way, but also welcome forward, because what having those drag and drop things does is it provides a kind of entry point for you. I talk about it as being the scaffolding for your application. It's the thing that gives you access to the worksite that means that doing those things is not a task that requires you to scale the building alone, right? And once you get into those rooms, we've also provided some great hand tools that let you work away inside of that environment and get the customizations that you want working. Because WPF and Silverlight are both very customizable environments and provide a great deal of power. What you really need is a kind of a guide to take you through those things that lets you get access to the power of the platform without having to really necessarily understand all of it up front.
Right. Now, and the reason why we didn't have these drag-drop capabilities in Visual Studio prior to now is because it's one thing to provide a notepad type of surface you can do stuff on, mm-hmm. but providing the instrumentation mm-hmm. of those controls takes far more complex thoughts than
it
just understanding
the
WPF itself.
And I mean, we wanted to get the platform out there and the basic tooling out there early, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't want people to have to wait to have all this goodness available to them. So, you know, we could have chosen to wait a long time and produce tools later, mm-hmm. But we said no. It's much more important that the platform be available to our developer audience, and that the tools provide the basics of what you need to produce a good application. Mm-hmm. But then to develop those more advanced concepts, those guides, if you like, the things that will help you through, to develop those later, mm-hmm. And that's what we've done.
Because also that way you actually get the feedback from the early on developers.
Absolutely, yes.
We find out
what's really important to people, and also what kind of applications people are building, because you know that really does tell us what's most important in terms of the tool features that we need to produce first, right? Because mm-hmm. Although we'll have a great set of tooling in Visual Studio 2010, we certainly aren't done, right? There's a lot more that we would like to do to make it even more productive, but we feel like the wave of innovation that's coming in Visual Studio 2010 and in the platform in WPF 4 and Silverlight 3 will take people forward, and we want to see what people do before we decide what to do next, mm-hmm. right? So it's always that cycle of we receive your feedback, we understand what you're doing, and we produce something that will help you be more productive even than you were before. That's the idea, mm-hmm. anyway. And that's why we were getting the message out there at Mix. That's why we'll be getting that same message out there at TechEd coming up in May, mm-hmm. Around these productivity tools that we're producing.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Visual Studio adding the designer surface to it now, mm-hmm. are we starting at a point where we're blurring the line between the Expression Suite and Visual Studio?
Well, I mean, that line has always been pretty blurred, to be frank with you. And where someone works is really very much a personal decision in terms of the kind of task they're doing. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've been talking about task as being the important differentiator here rather than discipline for quite a while now. And the way I think about it is this, that if you're doing a task that's much more focused around the look and feel, the design, the visual design, and particularly thinking about transitions and animations and curves and drawing stuff out and creating all kinds of interesting transformations and those kinds of things, the chances are that the place you'll want to do those things is in the Expression Blend tool set, okay? Because they have a very rich set of designer task focused tools. That's not to say developers can't use that, and we know that a lot of developers are using the Expression Blend toolset to do those tasks, because it's really well suited to it. What our stuff is about is really about the traditional developer space, which is, how do I get my application wired up to data? How do I sort of set things up so that my resources are planted in the right place, so that I've got them nicely factored, and so that I can access them? How can I tune the way my data binding works, and make sure that I'm exploiting the platform to the maximum effect, and also some of those essential visual design tasks that you needed to do for the everyday forms over data application. Now, we've heard from customers, for instance, that they don't necessarily want to reach for the Blend toolkit when all they really want to do is a simple forms over data application, mm-hmm. okay? They don't necessarily want to have to become familiar with another tool. Well, it won't be necessary now, because whilst Blend were a little ahead on the curve there in terms of providing some of those features, we now have those features, and we have a developer sort of spin on them, if you like. We have a developer way of thinking about them. And so it should be familiar, and this is the important point really, to anybody who's been working with Windows Forms or with ASP.NET for doing those kinds of forms over data apps. They should find this is a familiar world.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same way that Expression has the code view window, so the designer mm-hmm. can look at the XAML.
Yep.
We're now simply providing the developer the design view window,
yes.
so they can look at and manipulate design.
Yes, that's right.
So it's actually participating.
And to do the debugging. I mean, this is an important thing that Visual Studio provides a lot stronger support for, is obviously that in Blend you're not going to dive into the C# or VB code, mm-hmm. and they delegate all of that debugging stuff to us. Mm-hmm. And so if you've used Blend and tried to debug, you'll be familiar that actually debugging tasks are actually something they delegate out. And that's fine, because where the developers live, right? At least that's what we want to be.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that developers don't have to move to another tool just to do some basic stuff. So an example of that is, and I talked about the fuzzy line, a lot of developers find themselves needing to do things like setting up colors and palettes and brushes and things like that for themselves. They don't necessarily want to have to open a full-scale designer toolkit just to do that. So we now have a brush
Or call the designer and have the designer do it for them.
Exactly, and they may not have a designer. This is an important point, right, is that they might be just picking from a library of pre-canned resources that some professional designer has produced and sold on. We want to provide tools that let you do those things without having to leave the comfort of your Visual Studio shell, mm-hmm. and those things are in. So there's a brush editor now, there's resource picking functionality now. All of those things are in place just for exactly that reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why don't we actually take a look at a demo and see what this looks like?
Sure. I mean, what we're going to take a look at here is just some of the stuff that I was actually showing at Mix, and I think there'll be some links after this video that will help people find their way to the talks that I gave on this whole topic of the new designer for Visual Studio, both for WPF and for Silverlight. In this case, we're looking at a WPF application, and the first thing you'll notice is that, that there's this new data sources window, right? Well, I mean, I say new. It's not really new. That's the point. I mentioned that this is a familiar territory for people who've been in the Windows Forms world in the past. They'll be very familiar with this window because it's been there for quite a while, and what it lets you do is to create on the fly, essentially to paint data-bound UI. What it really is a scaffolding tool. And what I've done already here is I've created a strongly typed data set here. So this kind of XSD guy that's sitting over in my solution here. And you can see this is a manifestation of it here in the data sources window that just lets me drag drop my data onto my form. Okay. So I'm going to try that out right now. I have a simple real estate scenario that I use in the demo, and this is much more expanded on in the videos that you'll see at Mix. I drag drop here, and you can see that it's lighting up. It's telling me what parent is going to light up there, and I let go. And what's happening there is under the hood, it's inspecting that strongly typed data set and taking a look and seeing what kind of UI might be a good fit for it. And this is something that this window has always done. And here in WPF, what it's done is, we'll just zoom in a little. Scroll across there to see our UI. That's created a nice grid containing all of this. Is a details view that I dragged on there. It works with master and details. You'll see that in a minute. But it's created a nice grid there and enumerated all of the fields in my database. And for each one, you can see that it's created a label, which essentially it's grabbed from the field name. Yep. I mean, obviously, you can change this stuff. But here's the really interesting part, okay? It's created this text box here. And time was, you used to have to understand how to construct this beautiful stuff in the curly brackets here. and for a lot of people, that was kind of a moment where they felt a bit of a disconnect and didn't quite understand what they needed to do next. Because the thing with data binding is it's immensely powerful, but with great power comes great responsibility, as they say, and so it's easy to get yourself into a mess and not really understand what you're doing with data binding. But what the tool has done is it's kind of provided that gateway, provided a way in, that kind of scaffold that gets you into the building that I mentioned earlier. So it's provided a way in. And once you're in there, if you really need to customize, a lot of the time you're not going to need to customize. But what we've done is we've provided tools, and here in my property inspector here, you can see that we can see where things are coming from. So this little guy is telling us that we have a data binding here. We know that in our XAML, but even if we weren't looking at the XAML, we could tell that that was true. And what we can now do is we can actually customize our data binding. And if we're interested, we can take a quick look. And this new expression builder for building up data bindings lets us see the entire surface area of the WPF or Silverlight data binding API. And it's kind of a cool learning tool. We see it two ways. One, it's for building and customizing new data bindings. And two, it's for just grokking the platform, you know?
Understanding,
inspecting, seeing what's possible. So all of those options are exposed here. So we can actually see that it already has a data context that it's picked up from the ambient data context that I dragged on. And we can see what path is selected. If we needed to, and there are occasions in WPF quite often or in Silverlight where you need to actually convert between one type and another, we can pick between type converters that happen to be in our project. All of this is shown in great detail in the demonstrations that you can see online. And we provide you with lots of help to get you productive. So you don't have to learn that API from scratch. You just learn it as you go, which is a much more kind of gradient experience than a kind of, oh my.
Than a wall, yeah.
There's a really big hill that I have to climb here. And you know, lots of people have climbed that hill, and I have huge respect for them. It's great that so many people have got productive already. But the fact is now that this opens the door to someone who even just wants to casually take a look, right? You don't have to be super committed to the platform to take a look at this stuff and see how productive you can get, right? So we do that experience for data binding, and if you were watching carefully, you'll also see that We also have a resource extraction and apply experience. That's also fully demonstrated. So you can take a color that's on one button or a set of items that's on one button and then say, I want all my other buttons to look that way. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can use my extract resource and then look up the resource I've got and apply it. So
and some of this stuff might be things a designer might actually prepare
for you. Absolutely, and that's one of the cool things about it is that it's perfectly possible for somebody to prepare a set of pre-canned resources that you might be applying to your application. And we have the means to search for those, find them, get a little preview on them, and then pop them on. And so yeah, that's something we're looking to really make a lot easier for people. I also mentioned that there's some new stuff right here in the picker, and one of the things I can do here is just, if I take a quick look at the background here, you'll see that we now have a brush editor.
Okay. Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, nobody likes hex, right? Well, some people, maybe. Nobody likes to type hex, as a routine matter. So we provide the ultimate lazy man's UI here. We provide this little eyedropper here. You see how it's changing color? It's like, I like this color up here. Let's have that one, that kind of stuff. So there's kind of quick and easy ways of getting things working, but we also have the full power of the API exposed in the property inspector here. So you don't need now to open a full-powered tool like Blend just to get access to a brush editor, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so there's a number of other advances like that we've put in the property inspector, mm-hmm. just to make life easier for the standard things that pretty much everybody needs to do in their application, whether they have access to a designer or not.
Yep.
Just a kind of a bit of a teaser for what's in the videos, and folks should really take a look at those. We'll have a whole lot more content in this area coming up around Tech Ed, and so this demonstration we'll take further. One of the things that I mentioned at Mix that folks might not have seen yet. Well, I know they haven't seen because really only I've seen this in the public domain. What we now have. Is
we're getting an exclusive demo here now, is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. I always like to aim to please here. In the demo that we had at Mix, we dragged a list view for the master details view here. And one of the things you'll see in the demo is that this thing helps you build those master details views without really writing any of that plumbing code that you traditionally have to write. But I can actually now drag and drop, and I'll just grab hold of this guy properly. I can drag and drop a data grid. Which is actually the new, it's been the data grid that's in the WPF toolkit, which is actually available for WPF 3.5 users on CodePlex. That's actually getting rolled into .NET 4. Mm-hmm. And this data grid here is actually now generatable using the data sources window. So instead of making a list view here, we actually can make a data grid and start working with that. And if you have the typical kind of forms over data requirements where you need to be richly customizable, sortable rows and columns, the ability to move rows and columns around in your design, full editability across the entire surface, typical data grid requirements, we can gen that automatically for you, and you can then customize it using the designer. And we'll be showing a lot more of that actually at Tech Ed.
Yep.
That's not to say that the old way was bad, by the way. I just want to make that clear that the list view is not evil. Actually, it's really good. And if you've got that kind of ASP.NET background, you'll know that repeaters are the way that you used to do this kind of UI in a web page. If you're familiar with that, then the kind of items template approach inside of a list view to creating those mainly read-only with maybe a few little bits of writable, it's actually a really cool way of building an application, mm-hmm. and actually a lot more lightweight than invoking a full data grid for those scenarios, because you don't really need all of that
all
stuff.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes you do, and now we have a way in for that as well.
Okay, well, great. That looks pretty exciting, and especially since we got to see this for the first time here on the Knowledge Chamber.
Yeah.
And people going to Tech Ed will see it there as well, though.
People going to Tech Ed will see it, and they'll see a little bit more as well. What I really want to, I'm really quite excited about, is we've been working on a hands-on lab. Mm-hmm. And that lab will allow you to get your hands on exactly these bits and actually work through the full demo that I talk through. So we have a full script for that. So you can tell it's not just me, right? You too can do this stuff, and you don't have to be an expert to do it, right? You can get this stuff done. So come along to Tech Ed and see that hands-on lab. We hope to get that available broadly as well. But
of course, now, you mentioned getting your hands on the bits. I have to ask the question.
Ah. When's the beta out? Yes. Well, I can't answer that question. You wouldn't expect me to. It'll be done, you know, when it's ready. But it won't be long now. And so, you know, when the beta comes out, we're going to be delighted to hear people's feedback on these tools. We'd love to hear it based on just the videos, but we know you really need to get your hands on them to know what it's really about. And when that beta ships, it'll be in the beta one release. Pretty much everything you're seeing now is there, and you'll be able to get your hands on it. Give us that feedback that we need to make sure that this is a great product that meets everybody's needs.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Cool.
Appreciate it. Hopefully that gave you some good insights on what's coming for Visual Studio 2010 for developers who want to move into that design area periodically within the development phases. I'll post some links to the Mix sessions so you can go watch what Mark did at Mix. Plus, as soon as the Tech Ed sessions come out, I'll put more details of that in the comment section. Hope you enjoyed it.